Hello everyone, Dr. Alan Mishra here with another edition of the Vitality Explorer podcast. Our goal, as always, is to enhance or optimize vitality one person at a time. We typically start off with a quote, and here is this week's quote. Be the person your dog thinks you are. That's from CJ Frick. Be the person your dog thinks you are. We'll talk a little bit more about how dogs enhance vitality. The goal, again, with the podcast is to improve your physical, mental, social, and or spiritual well-being. If you are enjoying what you're listening to, please leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We try to take the friction out of staying vital and help you make deposits into your Vitality bank account. You can check out all the references to all the material on the Vitality Explorer podcast by going to vitalityexplorers.substack.com. There's over 500 posts and podcasts there based on these two core principles. Number one, vitality is a skill. And number two, vitality is a gift you give yourself by taking ownership over your decisions. So what we've been doing in the recent episodes of the podcast is to give you at least one specific actionable suggestion for the week. And this one is to take your dog, if you have one, out for a walk or to hang out with somebody who has a dog or other animal if you're not allergic, because these amazing companions in our lives enhance our vitality. So go on a walk with your dog, or go out if you can, go visit an animal somewhere. We can learn sometimes a lot from our animal friends about how to lead our most vital life. Other things we're going to talk about this week include how increasing disorder correlates with aging, and how cold could be kryptonite for arthritis. And then we'll finish with how dogs enhance our vitality and longevity. Now, this first one is really important. And this idea of increasing disorder correlating with aging is related to a very important physics concept called entropy. And what we're going to learn here at the beginning of this podcast today is why inputting energy into your life can lead to a longer life. Now, there's a very, very trendy person out there named Marie Kondo, and she kind of shames us for all the clutter we have in our lives. And her closets and her house are amazingly organized. But she suggests that we remove clutter from our lives to help us spark joy. And there's a picture of her perfect closet up on the Vitality Explorer Substack site, which doesn't look anything like my disorganized closet. And when I finish recording this podcast, I'm going to pay attention to my closet and my sock drawer a little bit more maybe this weekend. But her suggestion is to increase the organization of our closets and our lives to lead better lives. And it's connected again to that thermodynamic or physics concept of entropy. And entropy implies less organization and more randomness. And of course, our closets become more disorganized and random over time unless we put in that energy to reorganize them or to get rid of those things, as Kondo suggests, that don't spark joy. So our cells, our DNA, and even the structure of our organs slowly become less organized and more random as we age, similar to that disorganized closet. And our bodies also, as we get older, have a reduced ability to restore order to the dysfunction and disease that occurs that can eventually lead to death. And these changes are consistent, again, with that physics thermodynamic concept of entropy and this idea of connecting entropy or disorganization or more randomness to aging is gaining momentum. And this idea of the entropy theory of aging, sort of, if you want to, the disorganization theory of aging, is a compelling perspective because it suggests that aging is directly related to how disorganized or random our bodies become with time. And I think this is intriguing because we often refer to a problem as a medical disorder, right? And so when I came up with that idea, I was like, wow, why is disorder really bad for us? And in general, it is. Because when we're really young, our cells and our bodies are highly organized, and over time, they become less organized. They become more disorganized. And this paper that we're going to review a little bit more in detail is Entropy Meets Physiology: Should We Translate Aging as Disorder? And there's a graphic that's on the Vitality Explorer Substack site where you can see as the entropy of a biologic system, and then your body is a perfect example of a biologic system, as that goes up, aging and inflammation increase. All right, so we get diseases, stress, immune impairment, alterations in our metabolism as we age. And this is related to entropy and it's related to inflammation, okay? So here are the primary conclusions of this important article. Number one, aging can be considered as a progressive and cumulative increase in biologic entropy. So you can think of aging as increasing disorder. Second main conclusion is, quote, this new landscape could lead to new approaches to anti-aging interventions, developing therapies aimed at restoring the overall balance of the body's systems, thus reducing the progression of biologic entropy. So here's the Vitality Explorer analysis and recommendations based on this. I think considering aging as increasing disorder opens a door. It opens this door to new solutions about how can we slow down entropy? How can we slow down disorganization or randomness? And the answer in the physics world is simple. The only way you can decrease the entropy of a closed system, and think of your body as like a closed system, is to input energy. So adding energy, again, is the only way to reverse that arrow of entropy and restore order. And the best example I think we can lean into is our musculoskeletal system. Now remember, I'm an orthopedic surgeon and sports medicine specialist. This is an area where I know a lot about it. And your musculoskeletal system is modifiable until the day you die. All right, we've talked about this on other episodes of this podcast, and you can see lots of data about how you can modify your muscles and other things. But the better we keep it organized, the better off we're going to be. And one of the best ways to keep your body organized and specifically your musculoskeletal system is to exercise relentlessly. And that can be stretching every day for 5 minutes or doing 5 minutes of resistive exercise or walking, hiking, or biking for 10 to 20 minutes. Or best, doing all of those, stretching, resistance, and some sort of aerobic every single day. And the key is to be consistent. The key is to try to improve your flexibility and strength every possible day, all right? And that is inputting energy. And that input of energy will slow down the rate of disorganization that has been piling up inside you and likely improve your vitality and your longevity. So I think Maria Kondo would agree. We should try to keep our bodies as tidy as our closets. We can try to work on a variety of different other things to do that by eating well, by cultivating closeness with others to keep our social vitality, and to try to serve others in need whenever possible to improve our spiritual well-being or simply being more forgiving and more thankful. So you can check out the references to this on the Vitality Explorer Substack site and read more about how entropy meets physiology. Should we translate aging as disorder? That was just published here in 2024. We're going to move on in the Vitality Explorer Substack site or Vitality Explorer podcast to the second paper. And this is another really important paper. And the title of the post here is Could Cold Be Kryptonite for Arthritis? And Learning the New Science Supporting Cold Exposure for Specifically Joint Diseases. So it's no longer crazy to think that cold exposure could be kryptonite. And there's a lot of celebrities like Lady Gaga, the boxer Floyd Mayweather, and a Dutch guy called Wim Hof who've been talking about cold exposure as a way to decrease your inflammation associated with arthritis or to help you feel better over time. But the post that went up this week about this is related to this paper. And it's kind of an obscure paper, but I think it's very important because it talks about, here's the title of it, the impact of regular cold exposure on electrical skin resistance in patients with joint degenerative diseases. So the paper looked at 268 patients with either hip, knee, or spine arthritis. And the patients were randomized to receive 3 minutes of whole body cold exposure at, wait for it, negative 110 degrees Celsius, which by the way is minus 166 Fahrenheit, or no cold exposure prior to doing an exercise program for a total of 10 sessions, 5 per week. So this idea of, you know, they have these sort of cold tanks you can go, they're popping up all over the country now, and you jump in there for 3 minutes at this pretty cold temperature. But what the researchers did is look at the skin electrical resistance And that was our sort of a way to assess the sympathetic nervous system activity, which is connected to our fight or flight response. So if your sympathetic nervous system is activated, you have more stress, you have more cortisol, and your skin electrical conduction, how well it conducts electricity, is related to that. So the higher skin resistance, higher skin electrical resistance, indicates lower sympathetic nervous activity, and then consequently less mental stress. So higher skin resistance is desirable, as it suggests there's less activation of the sympathetic nervous system, less activation of this fight or flight response, and overall lower levels of stress. So the study, again, looked at cold exposure, and they found that those people who had done it for five times a week for 2 weeks, or a total of 10 sessions, even after a single day, they had higher skin resistance, and that maintained all the way to day 10. Okay? And here are the conclusions of this important paper. Number one, whole body cold exposure induced physiologic adaptations that resulted in lower levels of mental stress in subjects with knee, hip, or spine arthritis. And number two, cold exposure can be considered a possible treatment option for these patients. So disclaimer, this is not medical advice. I think you should check with your personal physician prior to engaging in any treatment, including cold exposure. There are risks associated with that. But the paper reviewed today adds to the growing body of evidence supporting cold exposure as a way to combat inflammation and chronic pain, especially in people with knee, hip, or spine arthritis. And I've been personally using cold exposure in a variety of forms, sort of a cold shower, 60 to 90 seconds in the morning as the water's warming up, ice baths, cold pool exposure for more than 3 years to control the inflammation I've had associated with chronic arthritis in my spine. I've had neck and back surgery, and fortunately done overall very well. But the cold exposure has been a game changer for me in terms of trying to modify the pain or inflammation that I occasionally get, and to help me participate in a lot of the activities that I really enjoy. So I think people can check out the references to this on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. If you have experience with this, you can post your comments below. And I would hope that the information we've talked about here today could help spark a discussion with your physician about whether cold exposure could be valuable for whatever condition you're suffering from. There's also more data on the Vitality Explorer Substack site, including how cold exposure can increase your longevity. So we've lived for a long time between 68 and 72 degrees. We don't want to get too hot. We don't want to get too cold. We'll turn on the heat or the air conditioning to avoid being uncomfortable. But there's actually value in this, and I think it's emerging more and more that environmental exposures at either end to warmth or cold can be valuable for our overall health, well-being, and longevity. And speaking of vitality and longevity, we're going to complete this week's Vitality Explorer podcast by talking about my amazing dog, Tess. Now, Tess is a almost 14-year-old yellow lab, and she is one of the most important parts of my life. I get credit for picking her out along with my daughter almost 14 years ago. She, to this day, greets me with a wildly wagging tail and she doesn't have all of her teeth anymore, but she still has an infectious smile. So there's pictures of her up on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. She still does the occasional zoomy running around the house, and I used to get upset about this, but now I'm delighted by it because I know that we're on borrowed time, according to our vet, with having a 14-year-old lab. And that's what led me to kind of review again why dogs can be so important to our vitality. And scientific data suggests that a dog can also be helpful for our recovery. And check out this data. A study of over 320,000 adults, and these were people who were age 40 to 80, who had dog ownership, and they had a lower risk of death after a heart attack or a stroke. Think about that. 320,000 adults, middle-aged to older people, who had a heart attack or a stroke, literally having a dog help them. And this was true independent of socioeconomic or medical variables. So just having a dog was meaningful. And the other part is dogs can provide massive value in companionship, have a sense of purpose because you need to take care of them, and help improve your mood and improve your overall quality of life. So here's some other specific ways that dogs can enhance our vitality. They promote our well-being because, well, we're supposed to take them out on a walk, but you know, that's valuable for them to get out and valuable for us to get out. Second is dogs promote our mental health. I mean, this is kind of crazy, but I do know that Tess, my dog, is a great listener, okay? And she's a phenomenal companion. So the final one is the dogs, especially some of the service dogs, that can provide guidance and assistance to people with a variety of disabilities. But here's the kicker. Published data confirms that dog ownership improves our longevity. And they reduce the risk of disability in a study of over 11,000 people. And part of that's related to the exercise and social interaction. You can again see a beautiful picture of what I call Princess Tess on her throne. She likes to sit on a little couch we have in our backyard. But here are the conclusions, the two main conclusions I have about why dogs enhance vitality. Number one, daily dog care may have an important role. These are quotes from the papers, by the way. Daily dog care may have an important role to play in health promotion and successful aging. Number two, dog ownership, quote, dog ownership may be particularly important in single occupancy households where ownership provides a substitute companionship and motivation for physical activity. So here's our, you know, the Vitality Explorer analysis and recommendations about dogs. They're flat out wonderful animals. They improve our condition. They improve the human condition. They can help us smooth out some of the choppy waters of life. I mean, your dog just thinks you're the best thing on the planet. They're always there for you. We're blessed to have them as our close companions in this world. And scientific data supports that dog ownership is an excellent way to improve our physical, mental, and social well-being. So I think dogs indeed can be our best friends. They enhance our vitality. I mean, look, when I go home and I see Tess wag her tail at me, that just boosts my day. So enjoy the company of a dog. Take our suggestion about a vitality enhancer this week. And if you have a dog, go on a walk. If you don't have a dog, visit somebody who does. Or go visit an animal somewhere as long as you're not allergic, because I think, again, animals can be amazing vitality boosters. You can check out some of the data on the Vitality Explorer Substack site. These include papers. Here's one of the quotes of the paper, the title of the paper, Dog Ownership and Survival After a Major Cardiovascular Event. And Dog Ownership Protects Against the Onset of Disability in an Older Community Population. This week, we've talked about some interesting stuff. A variety of things, including how increasing disorder is connected with aging. We've talked about how cold could be kryptonite for arthritis. And then we finished with how dogs enhance vitality. So remember, our quote for this week is, quote, be the person your dog thinks you are. Now they think you're a hero, right? So be that hero this week. Get out there and try to make a dent in the universe. And until next time, dare to be vital. This has been Dr. Alan Mishra with the Vitality Explorer podcast. Please share this podcast widely. Please also leave us a 5-star rating on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And thank you very much for listening. I hope this has helped improve or optimize your vitality today.